Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Looking local.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A main, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A mate, no rain.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert. And I'm joined, as always, by JD, by God, Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Tomorrow's Halloween. I'm going to be great. Like my favorite holiday.
Yeah. We're a big Halloween fan, but my wife doesn't like to do the scary stuff. She likes cute Halloween, so we kind of do Mickey and Minnie and stuff like that. We do cute ghosts and cute spiders, and that's kind of how we do. I was watching the World Series downstairs, and I was carving pumpkins with the kids, and then I was like, oh shit, I never set up a live feed. So I got no thumbnail, I got no notes, no nothing. I literally ran up here 10 minutes ago and got this recording going, and I put together a couple of notes like that I had in my head. I kind of put them together, so it should be a fun episode. But I've been pretty busy today.
Yeah, it makes two of us. I got a nice little pay bump at work today or yesterday, so that's pretty good. A little extra 10G, so that's always a good thing. Yeah, and then family and I went to the orchestra tonight. We're in a college town, right? So we went and saw an orchestra play some Halloween stuff today. So that was a lot of fun. Quite enjoyed it.
Cool. Yeah. I've been busy since I got up this morning, and I was up a lot last night with the kids, but, cause you know, like the baby will get you up naturally and that's kind of your normal, but now my 6-year-old, whom I love dearly, wants someone in her bed like all night now because the baby is in mom and dad all night. So she's kind of feeling left out. So I've been sleeping in her room a lot lately. And so I actually fell asleep in there last night about 9 o'clock, and I had meant to get up and watch. I've been trying to watch like Halloween movies and stuff, and I meant to do that last night. I was watching Fright Night before I put her down, the OG version. So I'm probably going to finish that tonight. But, so I fell asleep in there like 9, and then I woke up about 12:30, and I had to like escape her bed. So she's got a loft bed, so you got to climb a ladder to get up to it. And underneath that is like a dollhouse. She's got like a freaking princess castle. When I was her age, I was sleeping on box springs and milk crates, right? Because I was super poor growing up. But you got to escape like rather gingerly, or else you're gonna wake the kid up. And thankfully I didn't wake her up, and I got up, and then I was up for like 90 minutes. So I was like, oh crap. And then I heard my son in the other room crying and screaming. I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be a long night. So But dude, I'm real excited about Flagship Patreon this week, because you and I both hit it big time.
Sure,
we finally got our Hall of Fame votes, and now we get a little bit of respect. Joe and Rich finally invited us on the show.
About damn time.
Yeah. How did your Hall of Fame thing go with was it just you and Rich, or did you have Joe too?
No, it was just me and Rich. It went pretty well. We did the Gordy list. Did they do the Gordy list with you?
No, because it was me, Rich, and Joe. So we just went over every single modern U.S. candidate.
Oh, we didn't do that. We did the Gordy list, which Rich put this together. It's this list of, it's a great list. I highly recommend him listening to the Flagship Patreon. We talked about Moxley. We talked about Punk. We talked about Goldberg, the Steiners, and Paul Orndorff. So that was pretty great, I thought. We advocated pretty hard for everybody but Goldberg. So it went well.
I know probably next week is the week that we should probably do our ballot. Mm-hmm. We should probably do our ballots next week. Joe tried to sell me on Goldberg. I still think, but then Rich kind of talked me out of it. So like I'm hearing them and I'm just kind of in the background listening to them both talk. And I'm like, man, both of you guys make very good points. Like they're very much pros and cons to putting him in. And by the end of it, my conclusion was, well, if there's just as many cons as there are pros, maybe not.
That's my thought.
So, but that doesn't mean I don't think he should never be a Hall of Famer, but I'm like, okay, I only got one spot left on mine, and I'm down to like three candidates that I'm kind of like fighting for in my head. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm reaching out to other people and seeing who they're voting for. And like, I'm trying to make cases for people, and then I'm trying to make cases against people. So it's, I know absolutely that there's a whole list of people I'm absolutely not voting for. Like mm-hmm. there's a list of modern US candidates I just don't believe should even be on the ballot. There's a few.
I agree with that.
And so we went through that, and me and Joe and Rick, we're all pretty mean about it actually. So, but there are some that I'm like, man, I think they deserve to be in, but are they more deserving than this person? And then I'm like, this new person, it's their first time on the ballot. I think they're a Hall of Famer, but this other person, if we don't get them in now, they might fall off eventually. And so that becomes the dilemma. So, like Paul Orndorff, I'm like, I have to get him in this year.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
I think Paul Orndorff belongs in the Hall of Fame. I think there's like, I know Kay Slow wrote an interesting piece for the Flagship site today about Joe. I'm a no on Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my conclusion. And it breaks my heart to say it, cause I adore him. Like, and Joe Lanza was like, Mike, you're a TNA guy. How are you feeling about Joe? And I'm like, I love Joe. Joe was never the top guy in TNA. He never was. He had a good run with the title belt, but even when he had the title belt, he still wasn't the top guy in that promotion. Mm-hmm. He was always behind like Kurt Angle and Sting and Christian and those cats the entire time. And then like later during the Hogan, like he was behind Jarrett. And then later during the Hogan years, he was behind, you know, all the like Rob Van Dam would come in. They'd push Joe down. Like he was behind AJ. So he never was. He was the top guy in Ring of Honor for a couple of years, but he was never once the top guy for TNA.
No, exactly. And he had too many years in TNA where he was relevant, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And then in WWE, he was, you know, he pretty much was an NXT guy, and he had a cup of coffee with the main event scene before getting hurt.
He had main events with AJ Styles and main events with Brock Lesnar, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. And then he had a pretty good comeback run in AEW, you know, that kept him pretty hot there. But I just don't think a Hall of Fame career. You know, I'm a yes on Punk. I'm a yes on Moxley. I'm a yes on the Steiners. I'm a yes on Paul Orndorff. And there's some other guys I'm thinking about that. Are you a yes on the Hardys?
I'm leaning towards yes. I tried to talk Joe and Rich into it, and I don't want to spoil our podcast. I think they're a hard no. just because they're just not fans of them. So, but they also feel like they have a case, but they just never got the Hardys.
I hate the train. I think they've had too much influence, and I think they've drawn everywhere they've gone, quite frankly.
Yeah.
W, they started to kind of be a factor, and then Jeff went ahead and Jeffed. So, I mean, like, but I mean, I think there's just too much good stuff with the two of them to ignore them, quite frankly.
Yeah. And even if you look at the Broken Hardy stuff, like you could probably hate that. And I think a lot of people do. And I think it's had kind of a negative impact on the business because the copycats came afterwards were pretty terrible, but it still drew at a time when TNA was on its ass.
Sure did.
And then I also was like, look, I don't know if we could factor it in this year. So maybe if they don't get in this year, maybe it should factor in next year. But TNA is kind of like a little bit of momentum they have at the box office right now correlates to the Hardys being in the promotion. They did 3,000 tickets for Bound for Glory. Last year they did 1,000. Right. And Hardys were on top. Hardys were in town promoting the show. They're at the Pistons game. It was Hardys and Joe Henry that drew the house, right? And they're getting ready. And so it's like, okay, if you're on the fence about him, you're like, maybe I'll wait to see what happens with TNA next year. And if these big arenas that they're trying to book early in the year, if they could fill those places up, you know, over what they're normally doing, and the Hardys and Henry are on top, I think you have to factor that in.
I agree. I think they've drawn everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. They drew for Ring of Honor. They drew in the Indies. They had that little Expedition of Gold run, you know, in like 2017, mm-hmm. where they drew everywhere. Like every indie they went to, they were drawing. Like they drew with the Bucks in Ring of Honor. They drew good for TNA. They put in TNA era after they got booted off of Pop. I think they were on
the Hardys left. Yeah. The Hardys were still on Pop. They got booted off of Destination America, and then they went to Pop. Yeah.
Yeah. In a time when TNA was looking really bad, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy made them viable again. People were talking about TNA specifically for the Hardys in 2016, 2017. So much so that they got a gigantic pop at WrestleMania in 2017. Yeah. Gigantic pop. And everybody, and you could say, oh, nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia. That was a smart mock crowd chanting delete.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And yep. It wasn't a handful of people. It was like the entire stadium.
The entire crowd. The entire stadium was chanting delete. Like, it's one of the most, you know, I'm WWE, right? You guys ever know. There's no secrets. It's one of the most epic entrances you're ever going to see, regardless of promotions. Hardys are Hall of Famers to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm getting close. I'm narrowing down I got a firm six, like, people that I'm voting for, and I'm waiting for that last spot. I was hoping that Joe and Rich, not hoping, but I was seeing if they could talk me into Bill Goldberg, and I'm like, I think I might be out on Bill Goldberg this year.
I can't do it. Can't do
I
it.
Thought Rich made some really good points about Goldberg, about just how short his run really was.
It was. Like, he was never really on top. He was never really on top. Even as the world champion, you know, he was Hogan and Warrior were on top. And then, like, they sabotaged him. Like, the whole Goldberg thing was a disaster. We should do that next week. We should do next week our ballots.
Like, let's not give away all of our points this week.
Right. That's why I'm pulling us back a little bit. But yeah, both of us did. Both of us got to be on the flagship Patreon this week. Both played in our cases. I implore you, if you're a voter, to vote for Paul Orndorff. He is so important to the wrestling business and is so unheralded. Like, I cannot say enough good things about Paul Orndorff. I will really harp on Paul Orndorff next week on the show, but just get ready. JD's going to put Paul Orndorff. We didn't even do wrestling talk. We're just a couple chodes who don't even do real wrestling talk. I read that today.
Yeah. So I clipped a segment of the podcast last week. And if you're watching this on YouTube, either on the Voices of Wrestling Network or on the Mike and JD show, I do apologize for us not being live. We're doing this on a Wednesday. We didn't want to go live on a Thursday because I can't. I'm going to be trick-or-treating with the kids. Sure. So we're going to be celebrating. I assume that you guys will all have plans for Halloween too, even though 11:30 PM Eastern is when we record. We're in every time zone imaginable. So we're like, okay, going live on Halloween is probably not the way. So, and I just had too much going on and I couldn't get prepared today. So we're just recording this and I'm just gonna do everything in post and just release it on both YouTube channels, as is, and hope you guys get the opportunity to enjoy it. So I do apologize to our usual live listeners who aren't able to put stuff in the chats, but please hit the like button, comment, and subscribe. JD, we're almost to 2,000 subscriptions.
Yay.
on YouTube. We're less than 2 years old. So yeah.
We're less than a year and a half old. We started in August. We're just over a year old, actually. August of 23. So we're as far as this goes, fairly new. All I'm going to say is, if you're watching this live on Halloween, make sure you wear the special mask so that when Mike and I flash the pumpkin at you, bugs crawl out of your face.
Yeah. Yeah, do that.
Mm-hmm. It's the season, of the witch joke.
Season of the witch, yeah.
Great. Talked about that. Did we talk about that in our regular show? Did we do that? Talk about that on Patreon? I don't even remember.
No, that was, we haven't done a Patreon-specific show in a couple weeks, so that was on the regular show last week. Yeah, I meant to clip that thing, but I just haven't had time, but I'll clip that too. That way we can get our Season of the Witch talk on YouTube. But
I think tomorrow being Halloween, we probably should.
Yeah. So we're on the show last week and we're talking about the Ring Boy scandal. And during that conversation, we did bring up the fact that Linda McMahon was part of the Trump campaign, was a member of his cabinet and was doing all that. We didn't talk about it for very long, but
She, if he wins, she's going to be part of his transition team. She's his top back, pack backer. Like, she is she's so MAGA-y. It's not even funny. Like, you can't ignore that part of Lindsey
McMahon. No, you can't ignore that. And I mentioned that in the headline because I think that's a big part of the headline. So, like, we have Donald Trump, who may, like, by the time we do our show next week, he might be president again, right? He might. And Linda McMahon is being sued, who is part of the America PAC, the Political Action Committee, that is doing a lot of fundraising for Donald Trump. It's going to be in his transition team. Might as well get a cabinet seat again, right? She's not doing that for no reason. She wants another job. And she is being sued by five plaintiffs who are accusing her and her husband, Vince McMahon, and the WWE of allowing them to be molested when they were ring boys by Mel Phillips. Right. That is very much a story. So I put that in the headline. Now people are saying, Mike, that is clickbait. Here's the difference between clickbait and attention grabbing. There's very much a difference. If it's clickbait, I'm saying something that I don't mean and is not true, right? To get your attention to come and watch something that is completely different. And that's happened to me before. I've clicked on YouTube videos and it turns out like they didn't even breach the topic. My headline was attention grabbing. And I meant to drag in some Trump supporters on that so that way they know that one of Trump's biggest operatives is mired in a sexual molestation case from the 1980s. So Trump supporters, not that many of them, but a few Trump supporters got in there, got a little mad at us for that, and that is okay. But who you should be more mad at? The people that allowed those boys to get molested, right? I think that's what you should be more mad about.
I'm always of the mind that if everybody likes you, you don't stand for anything, right? You have to have people dislike you. Cause if every, you know, like you got to stand for something. And you texted me about that. People in the comments, not happy. So I checked it out and I'm like, you know what? These are the people I want to not like me. We got called chodes. We've been called worse by better. So, I mean, like, I'm like, I'm okay with being a chode. And they're like, oh, it's not even good wrestling talk. I'm like, homie, we are talking about something beyond wrestling. These guys called it fake. I'm like, I was paraphrasing 1980s people, like how normal people talked in the 1980s. Like,
yeah,
someone said Dr. D should come after me. I was like, that's awesome. That's the best thing anyone's ever said should happen to me.
Yeah,
I would love that. So anyways, yeah, I mean, honest to God, we had all the right people mad at us for that. So I can sleep well at night knowing that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're mad at me for the way I labeled that headline, just know that everything that I said was true. So, it's not, and it wasn't even a political thing. No, like I'm not saying one political thing about it, but that is true. Like that is what she's doing. She's the chairperson for the America PAC for Donald Trump's campaign. Like that's absolutely true. And she's mired in she's being sued by five plaintiffs alleging that her and her husband allowed them to get molested by Mel Phillips. That's a fact. Yeah.
So I got to listen to this week's Between the Sheets with David Bixenspan, who was the reporter of the Rolling Stone piece, pro wrestling's best researcher. I'll maintain that. And him and Chris Zellner on their halftime segment really got into this sort of thing. I didn't realize there was video currently that had surfaced of Mel Phillips doing things that he was accused of doing. And Vince McMahon, and listening to this is just, again, I get like all up in my feelings talking about when people. And people give things because these are the kind of, this day, Bruce Pritchard and Kevin was going to quit. Well, not until like they let all this stuff slide. You know what I'm saying? Like they knew all these things. So like it bothers me when people bend over backwards to talk about how great a place that is. So like it, when things like this get another light shined on them. It just exacerbates like my feelings toward that company, which this episode, but I mean, like it just, these are the people. You know, I know your childhood is important to you. My childhood is important to me. But sometimes you realize that our memories are built upon the bones of real people. And if it doesn't bother you that kids our age were sexually assaulted by the ring crew manager, who clearly was able to keep his job because he knows where more bodies are buried. I don't know what to tell you. And if you're going to be a piece of shit like Alfred Kanawha, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's wild is that Kanawha posted, I guess Janelle Grant's attorney, Ann Callis, sent him a statement, and he had to publish it in Forbes magazine. You had to know that that like really upset him.
Oh, and she did that on purpose too. She knew it. Ann Callis is cold. I like her. I like her a lot. Good. That guy should have that rubbed in his face. But he's too much of a chode to have even the slightest bit of dignity about any of this stuff. Like, imagine being such a vile piece of garbage that you go after a journalist who's trying to bring light to the fact that kids were hurt. Imagine sicking people on him, on this guy, for just trying to talk the truth. You said it last week, and I didn't know quite yet until I really dug into it. Alfred Kanawha was the worst human being on the internet, and I hate him. I absolutely hate that guy.
Yeah, dude, it was before he was just trolling AEW fans, right? Like, there was, and I don't want to say it's completely innocent, but I get it because they're very passionate. They're easy to pick on.
Sure they are.
But guilty. It's gone so far beyond that. Like, he's so dug in that now he's actually become like a horrible human being.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably
all to make Chris LaGentle and Nick Khan happy.
Yeah.
All to get a stocking stuffer. Like, fuck those two guys too, man. And like, it's just awful. It's just the people who run this place are just awful.
Yeah. Before I transition to the next topic, this is a horrible transition. So it's like, there's no good way to transition from that. The Dodgers just won the World Series.
Oh, hey, congrats.
Yes. Thank you. I had the game up while we were doing this. The Dodgers were up. It was in the ninth inning, and Dodgers win the World Series, breaking. Hold on. I think this deserves the button for me anyway, because fuck it. Yeah. Fuck it. Why not?
Breaking news.
It's our button.
Yeah, it's our button. It's our show. We can do that. I mean, I would have to assume that Freddie Freeman is going to win the MVP. He homered in four straight games of the World Series, and then had three RBIs. He hit a single with the bases loaded tonight, and drove in, I think, three runs. It was that good of a single. So,
Wow,
and including in game one where he sent everybody home with a grand slam in the bottom of the 10th, right? So I'm trying not to hide my emotions right now. I almost cried when Freddie hit that grand slam, and I was podcasting yesterday because the games come on at such a weird time here. So I was podcasting yesterday on the flagship, and I had the game up on my iPad, podcasting with you, trying to focus on the show and not focus on the game. But now that it's over, we can all celebrate. I know everybody hates the Dodgers, and that's fine. They also hate the Yankees. But look, Yankees fans, don't worry. Look, the Cowboys still have a long season ahead of them. So you might actually – maybe the Cowboys will make you happy this year, guys. Maybe.
Oh, that's a good one. That's good. Yeah. I'm with you, man. I remember – it's been a long time for me. It's been 2005, but I remember – watching four complete games from the White Sox pitching staff and then seeing Paul Konerko with his walk-off. So, I mean, like, I've been there. I get it. Very happy for you. I miss liking baseball. I miss liking baseball.
You know what's so funny is every year they would get to the postseason and just blow it. Like, Clayton Kershaw would have a meltdown. And then it wasn't until the 2020 pandemic season where they were just locked in Texas Ranger Stadium where – They were, it was like a shortened season. It was only 60 games that year. And then it was a weird season. And then the Dodgers won it, but it felt like they didn't actually win it. It just felt weird. Like, they're the champions. They shouldn't put an asterisk on it because they just played the games as they were meant to be played. Right. But it just, the whole thing felt weird. They never got a celebration. And so now it's like, okay, this is the first like one that's going to be completely legitimate in everybody's eyes since 1988. So it's a big deal to me and all my friends who are Dodger fans. And But there for a while, I had to kind of pull myself away from baseball season, despite the fact they were so good. It's because they were literally breaking my heart every year. But this year, just there was something about this team, Shohei Ohtani, you know, creating the 50-50 club, 50 homers and 50 steals. And I thought he was going to get to 60 and 60 at one
wild
point. Yeah.
Freaking crazy.
Yeah, crazy. And then, of course, Freddie finally coming alive in the World Series after having a really bad ankle injury. So congrats to the Dodgers, man. I'm super happy, super pumped. Not very pumped to get into this next topic. WWE launching Indie Wrestling Development Program. So WWE ID is the latest in our efforts to identify and support the journey of up-and-coming wrestlers, in turn raising the profile and strengthening the independent wrestling ecosystem, says the one Triple H. So this is on the heels of their NIL program. WWE ID has been constructed to support independent wrestling prospects and wrestling schools with world-class training, development, and mentorship. Under the program, WWE will provide prominent independent wrestling schools the WWE ID official designation, with the goal of providing new trainees and existing talent at these select institutions with enhanced developmental opportunities. Booker T's Reality of Wrestling, Cody Rhodes' Nightmare Factory, Seth Rollins, so there's a pattern here, Seth Rollins' Black and Brave Academy, Elite Pro Wrestling Training Center in Concord, New Hampshire, and Knox Pro Academy in Los Angeles are the first WWE ID independent wrestling schools to earn the official designation. They've already signed some independent wrestlers to the program. This thing has been in motion for a while. I did get a DM from somebody, and I'm not going to read the DM verbatim, but they're connected to a wrestling school, and they're not official WWE ID partners yet, but this has been going on for a while, and WWE agents and producers have been around at these schools, identifying talent, identifying schools, and giving like independent wrestlers like some financial backing and stuff. I think that's what a lot of this is. I think this eventually replaces the performance center, honestly. But we'll see how that goes. I think they're probably dumping a ton of money into the performance center, and maybe they don't really see it paying off, but they're just here to support the independent ecosystem and just support independent wrestling. JD, what do you think?
I got a hot take on this one. I don't hate this idea at all. I actually think this is good for them, and I think it's good for the scene. Like, I know it's shocked that you said that. Them. I'm sure you're shocked that was my opinion on this.
All right, guys, well, that's going to do it for us this week. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
No, here's the thing. Like, when they were at their most successful with developing talent, this is what they were doing. This goes back to when they had Ohio Valley and Deep South, and they were connected with actual wrestling schools that were training actual wrestling talent. Let's be honest. All the PC cares about are developing football players and basketball players and these NIL athletes who don't make it. Like, they've sunk a ton of resources into people that never do anything. Like, and I wondered how, and this was a Nick, this is when, remember when Tony Khan's company beat up NXT and the ratings and they kind of revamped what NXT was?
Yeah.
And it took about 2 years, but then it really kind of started working for where NXT is right now. But I mean, all they've done is just train athletes. Like, and that's the thing is like none of them have really like panned out to be like main eventers. Like all like the top WWE guys who came through the system were all FCW, right? Like those guys were wrestlers. Like they're not training pro wrestlers there. So if they get hooked up with these academies, who most of them are run by their current talent, you're going to get people that want to wrestle. You're going to get people that can work. So I don't hate this idea. And if it can help direct people to good schools to get trained, that's a good thing. If it can line the pockets of independent wrestlers and help feed the indie scene right now, which freaking sucks. Let's be honest. The indies were pilfered in 2019. It's bad. The indie scene, which was great in like 2016, 2017, you know, 2018, 2019, things started to change. Then it became like anybody who was decent was getting signed. So, I mean, I don't hate this idea. Not everybody who works here is going to make it to WWE. This will have a filter effect to AEW. I think it's something companies should do. Like, if you want to wrestle for New Japan, you go to the dojo. You want to wrestle for All Japan, you go to the dojo. You want to go to Dragon Gate, you go train at the Dragon Gate school. Like, this isn't crazy. Like, CMLL has this. Like, this is the fact that they have, it's taken them this long to really do something like this, and in this country specifically, I don't know what stopped them. Should Tony Khan get on something like this too? Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea. Who could he work with? Probably Dustin Rhodes' school. You know, there's some other places I'm sure if I put some real thought into, they could, but there's enough, you know, maybe Monster Factory, something like that. Like, there's enough quality trainers that you can make this work for both companies. A similar idea.
Yeah, Monster Factory. And then there's, of course, I know Kurt Hawkins and Pat Buck have a school. That's where Statlander and MJF came from. And
Creative Pro.
Yeah. Yep. So I the idea, I think, is good. I do see WWE turning this into some type of predatory
thing. Oh, for sure. They're going to,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's where I'm like, I get what they're doing. I think this is a much better way to do it than the PC. Because at the PC, they're just learning the same moves over and over again. They're rehearsing their matches, and then they're going out in front of crowds that just love everything they do, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so then they get up to the main roster and they just die. And that's happened time and time again. Mm-hmm. That's why their burnout rate is pretty high. Like they're not really turning out a ton of great talent. The best talent they ever turned out on the PC were independent stars or stars from TNA or Ring of Honor. And then they came through the system and it was like a good finishing school. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think guys like Tavion Heights should be out there on the indies. You know what I mean? That's where I think they should be out there, you know, and the same with Regal's kid. And, you know, they said they're sending him to All Japan. They sent him to TNA. He just worked Jonathan Gresham recently in a really good match. So I like that aspect of it, but I could see it possibly making everything better. But when WWE gets their hooks into things, they tend to make it worse. And that's what I'm worried about. So there's pros and cons to the whole thing. But they're going to grow this more. So they're going to have more schools identified. And they'll also, what I'm afraid of is they're going to identify a lot of these talent, and then they're going to sign them up to these low level deals. And then other companies just aren't going to be able to use them or sign them for a long time. You know what I mean? So it's actually going to widen the net, and they're going to be hoarding more talent, and it's going to hurt the other companies.
Well, what's going to happen is it's going to implode, right? Because what's going to happen is WWE gets their teeth into things, and they're going to try to make it WWE style. So like all these good workers that come in knowing how to work, they're going to have them do the same WWE stuff. They're going to be having, because again, they're going to be at Cody Rhodes telling QT to make sure to train these guys to wrestle WWE style. Like, it's just what's going to happen. And then it didn't work in OVW. Like, you're trying to impose your system on a school that already exists. And that creates resentment, that creates problems. It's not going to work in general. I like the idea for now. I think you've got a point where they're going to be trying to sign anyone up. This is why the other side has to get hooked up with schools too. And it's been, we're just making it official. Like, are you saying that remember when Ben Carter did that match for AEW and everybody went crazy, and then he wind up signing with WWE like a week later? Like, he was a Seth Rollins guy. Like, that was just to try their hand. Like, remember when Shawn Michaels had his academy and all of his top students got developmental deals, Bryan Danielson being one of them? Like, it just, this happens. So I can't say I'm surprised by this. And history tells me it's going to implode in a couple of years.
Yeah. It really is a good idea by WWE. I my biggest fear is that it's going to turn predatory. I took a lot of heat for a tweet that I made about it, because my initial reaction, everything. Yeah. But and it wasn't even me being sarcastic. Like, my initial reaction to everything that they do is to think that they're up to something nefarious.
Because they are.
Because I have, you know, over 40 years, and I'm currently reading Death of the Territories.
Oh, so, Lord, that'll do it too.
Yeah, and I'm in 1984 as we speak. Yeah, I'm picking it. I'm trying to read a little bit each day with the time that I do have, when I'm not, you know, taking care of kids and taking them to school and cleaning and cooking and working out and doing all the other things that I'm doing. So,
homie, audiobooks, man, audiobooks.
I know, but I retain the information more if I read it. The problem is I'll have to read it a couple of times, because my reading comprehension is not great. Like, there's sometimes I'll read a page or a paragraph like two or three times, like, oh, okay, now it's in my head. You know what I mean? So, and I really, there's been times where I've been talking about wrestling history, and I feel like I'm pretty good, pretty knowledgeable, but maybe my knowledge is like below other people. So I'm just trying to get, you know, step my game up with a little bit of wrestling history. I have a good overview knowledge of how the territories died. I think we all kind of do, because we've seen all the documentaries. Mm-hmm. But I like the step-by-step chronological order of how everything happened, and where it happened and things like that. So I'm actually learning some stuff. So it's a pretty good book. And what I'm learning is, you know, Vince went to all these territories and sold them a bill of goods, you know, went to LA, went to St. Louis, went to all these places and said, "Hey, I'll help you out. You know, you can be my local promoter. We'll do this. We'll take your talent." And then next thing you know, those people are on their asses, right? Uh-huh. He did it time and time again. And so, now with this, look, Seth Rollins and Booker T and Cody Rhodes' academies are probably going to be okay. You know what I mean? And so maybe they just keep it focused to like guys under their umbrella already and just have their academies focused on them.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. But I do think that it can become predatory where they're signing up these young kids and keeping them away from the other companies, specifically AEW, you know?
I mean, they very well could. Another way to look at it is like when people get released eventually, that helps talent, that helps boost the market. Cause there's only these things boom and they bust all the time. Yeah. Right. And the market will flood. And I don't hate this idea. I actually think wrestling's in a better place than it was even 2 years ago. I think AEW has been sending talent to do stuff more frequently now. I think WWE having like Tavion Heights working and Briggs, I believe, are working Noah shows. I think that's great. Like, I think that both companies are being very smart about how they're using talent. I'd like to see AEW do it more. I mean, like from what we heard a couple years ago, some of the talent there were lazy and were not wanting to do things. Like Private Party ain't gotten better because they haven't done much, right? Outside. That's
real. I'm like, why hasn't Private Party done Junior Tag League? You know what I mean? Like,
or do Dragon Gate or something. Like, if they want to work, if you want to work that junior style and be really good at it, like, they got ties there. I would just be like, "Hey, Dragon Gate, hey, take these guys for 4 or 5 months." But they got the thing is, they got to be willing to do it. And part of me is like, if you're not willing to do it, why do you have a job? You know, I think that's we did shows about a year or two ago calling people out on that kind of stuff. Anna Jay all of a sudden got a lot better. She spent some time in Stardom. And she's finally starting to come into the promise that she showed 4 years ago when she debuted. So, I mean, like, I think that these things are good. They just got to, talent's got to, how good do you want to be? You know, wrestling is one of those jobs. How good do you want to be? I think Tavion Heights is going to be awesome. Tracy's, or, you know, D'Angelo's been fantastic for a long time. So, I mean, I'm very happy to see this. So, this is good.
Next up, we got Vince McMahon launching a new payment hub company. Sure. Yep. Says this is from the Takedown on Sports Illustrated. Who wrote this? Dario Figueroa. But it says Vince McMahon is not throwing in the towel just yet. Former WWE chairman is in the beginning stages of creating a new entertainment company, according to PW Insider. Weird that it leaked to PW Insider of all companies, and not like a Variety or like the Hollywood Reporter or something like that. Mike Johnson got the scoop, one of their surrogates. Despite his ongoing legal issues, McMahon's new venture is being described as an entertainment hub company and will reportedly focus on producing film and TV projects in the realms of fiction and nonfiction. According to PW Insider's report, several ex-WWE employees, including Brad Blum, have already offered their services. There's been a Brad Blum, if you don't remember him, he was corporate officer number two in the lawsuit. Kristen Prouty, a former WWE executive instrumental in ushering Logan Paul and the WWE family, is reportedly connected to the project. You know how she got into the company?
Tell me.
Into WWE, she was heading up their Diva Search contest that worked out really well for that company, which is why we have a lot of the NDAs and lawsuits and all the other shenanigans that are going on. Kristen Prouty, legend.
Telling me is the best of the best are coming to work for Vince, as always.
Yeah. I think I saw BJ Bethel say that he actually got a tip that this might end up being like a porn company.
And if that were to be the case.
Can you say that again? I think you cut out.
I said, what a fitting end if that were to be the case. Am I good?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, no, you said it. So what do you think about Vince McMahon's latest venture?
I mean, this is him trying to do something while he's getting his ass sued, right? He's got to create something. Like, here's what's funny, is that he's a fucking failure at everything that's not professional wrestling and has been since 1991.
Yeah.
Actually, not too bad. 1989. Oh, no, 1987 with music. Music. We failed at, I'm silly me. First, we failed at music. Then we failed at filmmaking. Then we failed at bodybuilding. Followed up by the supplement company. Then we failed at the casino, the restaurants, the football league twice.
Yeah.
Like, he's a fucking failure at everything that isn't professional wrestling, and he hates pro wrestling, which is the mwah part of the whole thing.
Yeah. Anybody that goes to work for this company with all these allegations, complete and utter scumbags. Like, if you're an actor, like, I get, look, there's probably some struggling actors out there that are like, you know, doubling or tripling up in apartments. They need work. But if you're like a name actor and you take a part in one of his films, if it is like a legit film and not an adult film, you probably need to do some soul searching. I get the feeling they're going to hire like fucking, who was the guy that played Hercules in the 90s?
Kevin Sorbo.
And they'll get Eric Roberts from Best of the Best, and they'll get, they're probably going to get cats like that.
Chachi, who, what's his real name? Scott Baio.
Scott Baio, yeah.
Like, here's the reality. They ain't never doing a goddamn thing.
No,
not a single project's ever going to see the light of day from this quote unquote company. It's a shell. They're building a shell company to probably funnel some money to pay people off with, or they're moving assets or something. Like, it's not real. This isn't from this.
Yeah. Totally not real. Also, what was not real, I got on Twitter. I was fooled by a story. And maybe it was me like reading too much into the headline, and people have accused me of doing that to other people, so it ain't got me, so maybe I deserve this pain. But Sean Ross Sapp earlier in the week put out a story. The headline read something to the effect that TNA asked to see if AJ Styles could be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and WWE denied it. And in the body of the story, like, I did read it, and that was the case, but it wasn't like a malicious thing. It was like, you know, kind of like he's doing an injury angle right now, and they just weren't really interested. He's been off TV, but he ended up sending in a video for Bob Ryder's induction, so he was kind of on the show. Him and, like, there were several WWE and AEW stars that were in that video for Bob Ryder, which I think is actually really cool for TNA to be able to do that. Agreed. For Bob Ryder's family. So he was on it. It wasn't like a malicious thing. People took it as that, and by people, I mean myself. And I was like, what a weak-ass move by WWE to deny AJ Styles from going into the Hall of Fame. And several other people were saying similar things. So AJ actually clarified and said, it wasn't WWE, it was me. I just don't want to go into a Hall of Fame right now. I'm still active.
And
I'm like, oh, shit. You know, that actually makes sense. So kudos to AJ for clarifying. Sorry. No, I'm not actually sorry to WWE, but yeah, I got. So my bad, everybody. I got.
Let me throw something at you. Do you believe AJ?
I do. Sean Ross Sapp even updated a story with the clarification. I think he believes AJ. And in the body of the story, it didn't even come across as anything nefarious. If you actually like read it and understood it, it actually makes sense. And it would have been nice to see him go in, but he says he doesn't want to go into any Hall of Fame. Like, not no TNA, no WWE, no nothing until he's actually done wrestling. So I'm like, okay, I get it. Now I did have some arguments, not fun arguments, I would say fun, healthy debate with some TNA fans who seem to think that AJ Styles is going to work a match in TNA while he's in a contract to WWE. Never, guys, that's not going to happen. And they said, well, AJ got a chance to go to Noah. I don't want to be the one to break the news to you guys. I'm pretty sure Noah paid WWE for the rights to have AJ Styles on their show. Just like they're probably paying for the rights to have Shinsuke Nakamura on their show upcoming. And like they did for when Nakamura wrestled the Great Muda back in like last year or the year before, before he retired. I think Noah's actually paying WWE money to have that, and TNA is not going to do that.
Noah's running big stadiums, right? Like, yeah, they run Nippon Budokan, they run Sumo Hall, they run Korakuen, like they run shows in places. TNA runs small venues, like they don't, and they're selling, right? They're selling tickets with their guys. Noah needs to juice their houses a little bit, so they're willing, and with that Abima money, they're willing to pay. And Anthem, quite frankly, doesn't have to, so it's not gonna happen. Yeah. It's never gonna happen.
I would love to be wrong about that, because I do think that would be cool to see AJ in TNA one more time, kind of do like a farewell match to the company, because the way he exited the company was not great.
No,
really, like losing to Nick Aldis, like in the impact zone, the way that he did, like on the way out, you know, it was just the whole thing sucked.
I choose to believe that AJ's last appearance was that time he actually left the show and drove away, and that was it. Like, and then he came back. I choose to believe that that was how AJ left the company. It's a much better story that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But look, you know, TNA, I will give them credit. They're actually trying to make big moves in 2025. TNA Genesis. So they got rid of Hard to Kill, which was a Don Callis thing, because Don Callis, like myself, Steven Seagal fan. So that's why they have Hard to Kill and they have Under Siege as pay-per-view names. So they got rid of they got rid of Hard to Kill, and they've brought back Genesis, which was the OG January pay-per-view that they used to do. And it's actually going to be in the Curtis Colwell Center in Dallas, Texas, which is where AEW runs when they go to Dallas. Ring of Honor had a couple of their pay-per-views, the AEW version of Ring of Honor, sold a lot of tickets. I think that's a 7,000 seat venue. And I think last time Ring of Honor was in there, they did almost 2,000. So, you know, they just did 3,000 in Detroit, you know, which was really good. And if they can, you know, do 2,000 to 3,000 for that. And then, you're going to find this fucking hard to believe, considering you did a TNA podcast for a while and you were with me in the dark ages. TNA is going live on Access TV from the Boeing Center 3 days or 4 days after Genesis. So they're actually going to go live from San Antonio, right down the road from Dallas, Texas, in the Boeing Center, where they just did 2,000 people for Victory Road. They're actually going to be live on Access TV. It's going to be their first live episode of Impact since they've been on this channel, but probably going back 10 years.
I was going to say, probably since Hogan and them were around. Boy, running live TV is tricky, and Anthem does a lot of mess up stuff when they have the taped version. So I am... but just about, sorry, having a rough internet night tonight. Live TV is hard. Let's see.
Yeah. So they're not going live weekly though. I think they're just doing it looks like it's a test run to go probably start going live on Impact after pay-per-views and do bigger venues on pay-per-view or do bigger venues for pay-per-view. So when they do two nights in the same city, and with bigger venues, it doesn't really look good for the tapings afterwards. Mm-hmm. Now in Detroit, they sold 3,000 for Bound for Glory. They papered the house for the night two tapings. Like Joe Hendry and Jeff Hardy were handing out tickets at the Pistons game. And they got people to the taping. They did like 1,500 for the tapings. And it's apparently it's going to look pretty good on TV. That was the report that I got. But so that's always pretty tough. So I've always been of the opinion that they should try to do another city after a pay-per-view for the Impact taping. And it looks like that's what they're doing. So they're going to go live, and then they'll do a taping afterwards. And then on Friday night, they're going to do two more tapings to bank a month of TV shows in San Antonio after the pay-per-view in Dallas. I think that's a good strategy. I'm of the opinion that they should probably look into that studio for their live shows. You know what I mean? Like go to Full Sail University or something like that instead of running bigger venues for their TV. But maybe they have something on the hook. Maybe they have plans. I don't know. You know, they legit think that this Joe Hendry thing is going to be like their Cody storyline.
Maybe. It's a little bold in my opinion to think that. I thought WWE was bold to stretch out. Worked. Big gamble, but it worked. I think Full Sail would be a great place for anyone to run tapings because it's already wired up. Like Full Sail is a media college, right? Like they're training kids to have jobs in the media. So they have like the best of the best stuff as far as things go. And for working with NXT all those years, they have the facility set up. I think you'd be a foolish not. I think every company should be trying to run Full Sail, quite frankly.
Yeah. Same here. I think that's a great venue. But hey, guys, sorry we didn't go the full hour, but that is going to do it for us this week. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, JD.
I was going to ask about Chris Bay. We were going to talk about Chris Bay. I want to know.
So at the Impact tapings on Sunday night, Chris Bay was wrestling the Hardys. So it was ABC versus the Hardys in the main event. And Chris Bay, I believe, went for a cutter and it was reversed into a neck breaker. And so with Matt Hardy reversed into a neck breaker, and it legit broke his neck. And I did get a report that while Bay was down, Jeff Hardy came off the top rope and hit him with a leg drop. So I can't verify that. That was just from somebody that was there, said that while Bay was down, Jeff Hardy hit him with a leg drop And then they did the pin, and then he got stretchered out, and then with the neck brace. Apparently, Hardy just didn't know that he was hurt. Yeah. So he had gotten hurt on the neck breaker, and then Hardy hit him with the leg drop. And so that ended the match. He got stretchered out. He legit broke his neck. He went into emergency surgery. TNA has given a couple of updates. Apparently, he's doing great. He's in good spirits. He's been FaceTiming his friends. He's been communicating with everybody. He's still in Detroit, as far as I know. And hopefully, you know, God bless. He's great, by the way.
Oh yeah,
fantastic. I've always been a big fan of his. You know, in 2019, when Rich, this is before our podcast, Rich Swann was the World Heavyweight Champion, and Rich Swann and Chris Bay actually headlined a pay-per-view. Now, nobody saw that pay-per-view except me, because I was doing my articles. But, you know, he seemed like he was going to be a big main eventer for them one day. It didn't quite happen that way. You know, he was able to get some X Division titles under his belt. And then him and Ace Austin have turned into a great tag team called ABC. And they actually went and worked Junior Tag League, you know, in New Japan. And I think when they came back from that, they were better than they were. And they've had a couple of tag team titles. They just made them. They just closed the show at Bound for Glory with the freaking Hardy Boys. You know, they were really on their way. And so it sucks to see this happen to a good talent like Chris Bay, whom everybody seems to really, really like as a human being. And so I just hope the best for him, man. And I just, thoughts and prayers got to Chris.
I just wanted to have an update. I'm glad you were able to get that.
Yeah. So, but yes, guys, thanks to everybody for being here. That is going to do it for us this week on the Mike and JD show. Again, apologize for not being live, but, you know, we were able to crank out a show. Happy Halloween, everybody. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain from...
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.